Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Training Camp 2020 Locked and Loaded is presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
All right, let's say good morning to our pal, Cecil Lammy.
See? Look at
this groove line?
Benny, I walked in there and Benny goes, "Hey, I really like that song." And Scott didn't know it either. They didn't grow up in the disco era. They actually like groove line. I'm like a proud father right now, Mike. It's like, you know, you introduced your kids a couple months ago to, like, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and they actually liked it.
They loved
and
it.
And you felt, like, you felt a sense of pride.
Sense of connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I'm feeling with, I might just adopt Benny and Scott both. Like, just get the adoption papers. Do we have, we got an attorney here, right?
Let's be clear. You're just looking to adopt them for this weekend so you can bring them over to your house and help them, help you clean up.
Oh, yeah, it'll
That's all you're looking for.
That's a good.
Good morning, cool. Cecil Lammy.
Good morning, everybody. How's it going, fellas?
Oh, we're doing great. It's a Friday. We're all excited and happy. And the Broncos are back at work. I'm curious, a couple of general takeaways, observations from you from what you heard from John Elway and Vic Fangio the other day.
Yeah, I don't like the tempering expectations thing. I'm sorry. I just don't. I understand that it's a reality of just kind of this whole offseason and a young team and all those sorts of things, but this fan base needs something to be excited about. Everyone's excited about Drew Locke. Everyone's excited about the direction of this Broncos offense. I don't think there's really a need to admit your tempering expectations. You probably could have, you know, framed things a little bit differently because, you know, the standard here is competing for championships, and they're not going to do that this season. Everyone's excited about what they could be in a couple of years. Wait for this offense to come together. In a couple of years, this team's going to look so different because of all the players that you got coming up with that you've got to pay. So I say try as best you can now. Make that playoff run now. But definitely, you know, and I understand as Elway answered that question, he went on and he kind of kept couching the expectations talk, and then, well, we'll temper it just a little bit, is what he said at the very end. Yeah, I don't temper it at all. Have high expectations. Come out and say, you know, we're really excited. We know that there's challenges that every team is facing. We're also facing the challenge of a new offensive coordinator, a young team, you know, rookies coming in that we're going to rely on in a big way. But we're ready to take those challenges head on, and we're ready to, you know, compete for a postseason spot. I would have rather heard that than be like, yeah, we got a lower expectation, temper expectations, all those sorts of things. Now, keep them high. Because that's what the standard has always been. It's always been high, so keep it high. I could give a damn about all the challenges you have to face because other teams are doing that right now. And you can go out there and be, you know, so young you don't know that you're supposed to be bad, right? You don't know that you're supposed to struggle. So go use your youth as an advantage. Have that youthful energy, and then sock the league in the mouth, man. They don't know what you're going to bring to the table, so show them what you got.
All right. Well, I lowered my expectations because because, you know, I looked at this even before John Elway said that. I looked at this and said, hey, listen, man. Now that they've canceled all the preseason games and, you know, you've got this acclimation period and you don't get to do a lot of things. You know, I just was like, it's going to be really hard early, especially the Patriots went and signed Cam Newton. There's a lot of toughness. Have you looked at your own record that we picked in April right after, you know, the schedule came out? Have you looked at your own kind of prediction and thought, you know, I need to.
It was 9-7, by the way. It was 9-7.
Yeah. Yours was 9-7. Have you adjusted it at all?
Yeah, and I need to adjust my 6-0 start because we picked those games when the schedule came out, right? And it's not an excuse. It's not, I'm changing my mind. Whatever. No, it's just a reality of the situation. Like, in a normal offseason with a preseason, at least a couple of preseason games, you could say there was a chance this team could get off to a hot start. Now you're like, that first month of the season might be really rough for this team. And that's not lowering expectations again. That's just kind of realizing what the season is and is going to be. So at 9 wins, Nine wins almost sounds like, well, it doesn't sound like Nick's 12 wins last year. Sorry. That sounded always a little outlandish, shall we say, as I'll take it easy on my partner at night. But nine wins now sounds like, oh, you think they'll win 10, 11 games. Like, nah. Okay, nine wins might be that ceiling for this team, but it's all about that start. And I think the schedule, especially after that Chiefs game, this is why I had them getting off to a hot start and then finishing 9-7. It was 6-0 with a 9-7 finish. That means things get a little tougher at the end, and they do. So, you know, maybe it's a rough start, but then how do you climb that mountain when your schedule gets tougher, when you start facing other teams in this division, starting with that Chiefs game, and then the Chargers are no slouch, man. Just looking over that team, and Justin Herbert can sit all year, in my opinion, because Tyrod Taylor you could win a lot of games with. But that defense, Joey Bosa getting paid, you've got Chris Harris Jr. is the third corner. He would be the Broncos' best corner if he was on the roster right now. And he's the Chargers' third corner, not just by role, but also in talent, of course, with Casey Hayward and Desmond King there as well. So that Chargers team is legit. Raiders are, you know, home and home split, whatever, it's the Raiders. But the Broncos' schedule gets really tough down the stretch, and nine wins seems a bit too high, perhaps, now.
I got some people, I guess, agitated yesterday because I had the gall to suggest that Vic Fangio could be on the hot seat. I don't know. Has anybody paid attention to how the Broncos have done business over the last 4 years? And you do have, by the way, you do have as your offensive coordinator a guy who just spent the last 2 years as a head coach in this league. And if the idea is, hey, the defense doesn't deliver as expected this year, and it is clear that we're moving forward with this young offense, what's to say that John Elway doesn't look at Pat Shurmur and say, I want you to be the head coach of a team that's going to be, whose identity is going to be their offense moving forward? Well, why is it so far-fetched, the idea that Vic Fangio is coaching for his job this year?
Mike, you're forgetting about a guy that they interviewed for the job, Mike Munchak.
Right, he's on the staff too.
I mean, you've got a couple of different options. I think everything's on the table. I don't get outraged when people say stuff, you know. And when you said that, I was like, you know what? Everything's on the table. I can't say now. Is it likely and is possible? Everything's possible, right? But what's likely? Well, it's about this defense, and I guess I caused waves. I think D-Mac might still be mad at me, but anyway, I caused waves when I told Stoke a couple of weeks ago, like, I don't think this is going to be a top 10 defense. I don't even know if it's going to be top 15. Those corners scare me. Those corners scare me to death. The lack of pass rushing depth. And I understand fans reached out on social networking. They're like, hey, Malik Reed was really exciting. I was like, yeah, one sack was great. I was so excited in the one sack game. He had the one sack the one time. Like, they don't have Shaq Barrett anymore. They don't have Shane Ray anymore, although Shane Ray's working out with Von Miller, and, you know, you could bring him back or whatever. I don't know. They're not going to do that. But I look at the situation and go, that defense has more questions. This offense, you know, we're talking about firepower, and they're going to be so exciting, and they're going to score points. Yeah, they better, because I don't think this defense is going to be all it's cracked up to be because of cornerbacks that are very questionable and because of a lack of pass rushing depth. And to me, that sounds like a disaster waiting to happen when you're in a division with Pat Mahomes. Guy's going to light up the kid. If Ojemudia is out there, he's a fine player, he's going to get lit up by Mahomes. And then the rest of the league, they're going to see Rookie and A.J. Bouye. And Bryce Callen's going to play like five games. They're going to go after those guys. And that's the realistic, to me, kind of scary thing about that Broncos defense.
Hey, last question for me real quick. Expectations, offensive expectations for all these young players for you.
Yeah, to me, I think you got a 1,000-yard season coming from Jerry Jeudy. And if you think that Jerry Jeudy could outperform Cortland Sutton, yeah, that's not outrageous to consider that. I mean, he is Odell Beckham Jr.-like. So if he shows up and perform like ODB did when he first came into the league, we're talking about a 1,000-yard season. It was more than that, obviously. But, you know, let's put the number at 1,000 for Cortland Sutton, 1,000 for Jerry Jeudy. I think the number for Locke is 3,500 yards, 25 touchdowns, and let's keep it around 10 interceptions. Do that. Play the best defense you can, and let's hope this Broncos team can get at least to 500 as they climb out of the doldrums from Super Bowl 50.
All right, Cecil, thank you.
Be good, fellas.
All right, there you go, Cecil Lammy.
Cecil Lammy, presented by Golden Oak Lending.
All right, it's an Is It Just Me Friday, finally, after months of scraping by with whatever sports we could somehow dig up. We actually have stuff happening this weekend. We got baseball. We got Nuggets. We got Avalanche, all playing games that matter. So there's plenty to get off your chest here on an Is It Just Me Friday. Hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Far Down Territory coming up at 7:30. Question mark at 8. And in addition to your hot sports opinions on this Is It Just Me Friday, if you got a specific question for Mark, all available to us and to you on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Also got Troy Rink joining us at 7:45. So this regards, this Is It Just Me regards the issue you're dealing with. Your wife's coming back on Sunday.
Yes. No, Saturday night.
Saturday night.
She'll arrive somewhere around, it's not like 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening.
And you're kind of panic-stricken right now because while she's been gone for how long?
Since the first week of June.
Taking care of your mom.
June 3rd, yeah.
Down in Houston. The house is gone to hell.
It's, I mean, it's not good.
It's not good.
No, it's
and
not.
And she's one of those that she rules with an iron fist
right. And she
in that
keeps
home.
A very tidy.
And you are panic stricken about what her reaction is going to be like.
Right.
If she were to come home right now.
Yeah. If she like duped me into believing she's coming home, you know, Saturday night and she showed up tonight.
Oh.
There would probably be divorce papers.
So as one of our great texters says, is it just me or Mark? Should you just hire your landscaping company to come in and clean your house?
Good one. I do. See, here's the problem with the cleaning crew. Like, I could have a cleaning crew come over, but it's so messy. Like, can they put away the mess before that? Like, you can't really deep clean when everything is just strewn about.
Yeah.
So, we've got to get the strewn off the...
You've got to get the strewn.
We got to take care of the strewn before we can actually get to the deep cleaning.
Here's another one from Sean. Stink, what I want to know is, how can you send your wife away for months? I need to do the same.
Well, it was... My wife is an angel.
No, but she...
She's taking care of my mother.
Yeah.
Who, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, my mother has a multiple myeloma, which is a blood cancer. So,
and she's been down there taking care of your mom. Which
yeah, she's
is
been
just,
down taking care of my mom.
What an amazing
right.
gesture by your wife, and you pay her back by
destroying
her house.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah.
Good job, Stink. Good job.
Well, it wasn't intentional.
There's like, gratitude
it,
for
it's
you.
It's not intentional. I mean, it just kind of...
It's just the way you are.
It just kind of happened.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I'm the same way. When my wife goes out of town... It's like we allow ourselves, if she's gone 5 days, we allow ourselves 4 days of being sloppy.
Right.
And then there's that realization, we better get our act together.
Yeah.
Because my wife's the same way.
Right, yeah. So, you just got to.
It's like that scene in Christmas Vacation.
Mm-hmm.
You know how, like, the Griswolds are all at home.
Right.
And all of a sudden they, like. Start to kind of perk up, like they're sensing something, uh-huh. hearing something, and it's the grandparents showing up at the front door.
Right.
And that sense of impending doom.
Right.
That's kind of what it would be like as your wife was like pulling into the driveway.
Yeah, it would not be good. It'd be a little bit like if she pulls in the driveway, I'm going to be like Ricardo Multiple. Maybe I should have D-Mac come over. Places, everyone, places. Right.
Yes. Yes.
Have the the granddaughters.
I was like, places, everybody, places.
Yeah, and now the granddaughters all like in Sunday dresses.
Sunday dresses,
all
little bows in their hair.
Bows in their hair, you know, and we're just all.
You're freshly coiffed.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's smart. Very smart.
Yeah.
Is it just me Or is Elway and Fangio already setting up their excuses for a 5-11 season? We're young on offense. We had no OTAs.
I don't know. I don't think that.
Coffee slurp number three.
Thank you. I don't think. I mean, it's not excuses. I mean, there's reasons that this is going to be difficult. It's not like they're not going to go out and compete, Mike. It's not like they're not going to go out and do that. But there's inherent difficulties. Obviously, everybody's facing those inherent difficulties. But there are more inherent difficulties with the Broncos because of the decisions that they have made. So I guess the better question for me would be, are you allowed to point out those inherent difficulties when you've really put yourself in a position because of your decisions that make those inherent difficulties even that much more difficult?
We've certainly been critical of them over the last 4 years, but none of us predicted a worldwide pandemic and the effect it would have on football.
Right.
So you got to give them, you have to match whatever criticisms you may have to the reality of the situation.
I totally understand that. But what I'm saying is they have made it tougher on themselves from the standpoint of, like, knowing your backup swing tackle was hurt and not addressing the position, knowing that you weren't going to keep, you know, the fifth-year option on your starting left tackle who's been, you know, an abject disaster since you drafted him, knowing that your quarterback only played 5 games when you could have played him more games than 5, when you could have taken him off the PUP earlier and you chose not to, understanding that your depth at wide receiver wasn't good enough, so you had to go draft a bunch of wide receivers and tight end, like knowing that you had an offensive system that you built with an offensive coordinator and you knew there were going to be growing pains, and yet you decided that system that you really wanted to run because you've always had a tough time defending it, quote, that's a quote from Vic Fangio, I wanted to run this system because I always respected it and had a tough time defending it. After one season, when you knew there were going to be growing pains because he's a first-time play caller, you scrap pilot for a completely different system. So, like, I know that these circumstances, there's no way we could have predicted this, right? I know that we're in a worldwide pandemic, and there's no way we could have figured that out. But the bottom line is you did yourself no favors from the decisions that you made.
Well, that's just part of the commentary of Training Camp 2020, Locked and Loaded. All brought to you by Mountain High Appliance. Coming up next, 4-down territory. Thank you, NFL players. Now you've gone and made you know who mad. Thank you. Details next.
And he's loose!
This is 4-down territory.
Madden is on the field. He wants to know if it's real. They said yes. Get your big butt out of here.
We're on to Cincinnati.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
Do you want to lose? I throw, you catch. It's not that hard, okay? All right, get the out of here.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
Well, who are the top three?
Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, and Aaron Donald.
Oh, no. Only Aaron Donald should be ahead of Pat Mahomes. Hey, those guys are terrific, Russ and Lamar. But the only person in the conversation with Pat is Aaron Donald.
Hey, Charles Barkley on ESPN commenting on the NFL Network Top 100. That's okay. I don't mind hearing Charles opining on, well, everything.
Charles listens to me.
He does listen to you.
Yeah, he knows.
He says that Aaron Donald is the best player in football and the only guy worthwhile putting ahead of Patrick Mahomes. So this much discussed, controversial NFL Network Top 100 list voted on by the players that had Lamar Jackson 1, Russell Wilson 2, Aaron Donald 3, and then Patrick Mahomes 4. See, now I got to be mad at all the NFL players because all you've done now is give Mahomes a reason to be motivated. Put a little chip on his shoulder. That's what the greats do. Brady made a whole career out of it, just manufacturing these chips to use as motivation. And now you've gone and done it, NFL players. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Brady should have a deal, or maybe Mahomes will get a deal with, like, who's a big chip manufacturer? Like, an Intel?
Yeah.
Processing chips.
Or Lay's.
Yeah. Ruffles. Pringles. Ooh. Chips are delicious.
Man, whoever invented Pringles.
Why are chips, like, they're so salty? They're...
And there's so many flavors now.
Yeah.
This is so... I mean, this is the golden age of chips.
And I, you know, and the other thing is, like, they're aptly named because not only are they, like, chip size, that's for the name chip, but they're crispy and they crunchity and it's like a chippy in your mouth.
Seriously, can you have a sandwich without chips? You can't. I defy you. Have a sandwich without chips.
You ever put your chips inside
no,
the sandwich?
No.
I don't either.
By the way, Mahomes... Nah, I don't get that. Mahomes sent out a tweet yesterday. All it had was an emoji showing a pencil writing on a piece of paper. Meaning he's taking note of it.
Oh, is that what that means?
Yes.
Taking note. Yeah. I'm not a fan of putting the quarterbacks on the top 100 list anyhow.
By the way, we just said nice things about Patrick Mahomes. So, as part of our contractual obligation to you, the Bronco fan, here you go. It's coming.
Got to find the red button.
Ben was having such a good day.
He was.
Should have seen it coming.
He's probably doing is just sitting in there listening to the Groove Line by Heatwave.
Yeah. Never mind, Ben. Too late now.
I'll do it for you.
All right. All right, next in four down territory.
Second down. I really just want to play two more years. I talked to Frank about this, and he always tells me, never put a ceiling, you know, in your career. Hey, feel good after this year and you do well, do another one year, and vice versa. So if it doesn't go well, then let your body talk to you. My body feels fine.
Well, there is LeSean McCoy,
yeah,
who's reached a one-year deal, call it the Brady effect,
mm-hmm,
as he signed a one-year deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All right. Does LeSean McCoy have anything left? I mean, he just turned 32, and he really hasn't been a dynamic back since, well, 2017. So, I get the name kind of grabs you, but is there anything left to the player?
Well, he said he went Olivia Newton-John on us, right? Gonna let your body talk, right? So...
Ben's looking at me like that. Like, you're not going to order me to get that song, too,
right?
Are you?
No.
Well, Olivia Newton-John
back in the day.
That would put a smile, I think, on a lot of guys' faces listening right now. Right. If we played a little Olivia Newton-John.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying.
Back to Greece. Olivia Newton-John in Greece? Come on now. Yeah.
I'm not going to flat out order you, Ben. If Mark wants to, we can. But I just... Let's just say I'm recommending it.
Let's Get Physical is the song. Let me hear your body talk. So his body's talking to him, saying, I can still, hey, listen, in a limited role from a third down back position, can LeSean McCoy still make some play? Yeah, I mean, you're not asking him to be 25 touch a game guy, but in a little third down package, you think LeSean McCoy can still play?
Mm.
I think so.
Okay.
This is the beauty of the NFL. If it doesn't work, you just cut him.
Good point. Next in four down territory.
Third down.
It'll be a challenge for the young players to learn and adapt to the game. It'll be a challenge for us to make the right decisions. When it comes time to select the team, you know, you can't evaluate them totally until it's live action. You know, who can tackle, who's willing to tackle, who can break tackles. So it'll be an adjustment for everybody.
I don't know if Vic got the memo or not. This was an offseason that was all about speed and weapons and the offense. Why is he talking about tackling so much?
Right. I don't know. It should have been. We're going to have to see who can run fast, who can run quick, who can run away, who can be fast. Yeah, he's all in the tackling thing.
All right, seriously, how do these coaches need to adjust how they would evaluate these rookies under these circumstances? Does it change?
You're gonna base it on when we're in pads and we're hitting each other, like who looks like an NFL football player? Like who can get the work done? And there's gonna be mistakes made along the way, Mike. I mean, there are gonna be guys that look the part during practice. You got to do a great job of making sure you weed out the script readers.
Ooh. Right? Yeah, but are rookies really? That's more of a veteran thing.
No. There's a lot of guys who try to memorize stuff so they look good and so they're not making mistakes in practice. Where you learn is when you actually make the mistakes. But there are going to be guys.
I think you're giving these rookies too much credit. That's more of a veteran move right there, isn't it?
I've seen a lot of guys kind of try to cheat the system. Probably more done by veterans, but yes. This could be hard decisions. Really hard decisions.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down. In the Jaguars' first five seasons, they made the playoffs four times.
Keep fighting your butts off, and we are in the AFC Championship!
Then, almost just as quickly, the mood in Jacksonville began to shift. In 1999, the Jaguars lost their second AFC championship in four seasons. That upset at home was just the start of a bumpy stretch in the Coughlin's road.
It's from Tom Coughlin, A Football Life. Man, nobody, I mean nobody, can make something sound as dramatic as NFL films.
They do a great job.
Nobody.
Makes you want to watch a show about Jacksonville.
Yes! Yes!
Like, think about that.
How do they do that?
Like, nobody wants.
I actually want to go back and watch this now.
Jacksonville people don't want to know about Jacksonville.
It's mind-boggling.
And yet I'm intrigued to watch Jacksonville story.
Yep. Tom Coughlin had a bike accident in which he fractured four ribs, slightly punctured his lung, needed stitches in his head. In the words of Coughlin, another man on a racing bike comes out of nowhere and clips the front of my bike. Amen, Tom Coughlin. Amen. Man, some of you cyclists out there.
Yeah.
Woo.
Sounds like a typical Saturday afternoon in DeHuff's driveway.
Man, some of you cyclists out there.
Four broken ribs, punctured lung.
Yep.
I wonder if Coughlin, do you think Coughlin went to urgent care or do you think he just shook it off? Got back on his bike and pedaled home.
You're a jerk.
Meanwhile,
you're a big jerk.
The Huff's got an ambulance showing up. You got 911 on speed dial. He didn't even have to push the 911. That's too long. He's got one button.
Actually, 911 just put a monitor on him so that they.
Right.
Just,
he has one of those things.
They do daily checks. Okay, yeah, guys.
Hey, how you doing today?
Yeah. I've fallen. I can't get up. Monitors on him. He's got one of those.
Right.
Life alert.
The Huff's down.
They got like a chip in his arm so that they can monitor his vitals.
Yeah. They call. Are you just laying down? Are you laying down napping, or did you get hurt again? Which one is it? It's an automatic call.
Mr. DeHuff, we noticed that you were laying down for 8 hours.
Yeah.
Were you sleeping, or were you injured?
Yes.
That's funny.
Speaking of DeHuff.
Hilarious.
I saw the thing from the Denver Zoo with the animal that died. Yeah. Are you okay, Scott?
I'm getting through.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's a good little furry fella.
Whatever his name was,
Todd or something.
Did you know him well?
Yeah.
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 I felt, as soon as I saw that, I felt
I saw that. Was it a,
horrible for you.
Was it a monkey or like an orangutan? What was it?
It was a some type of marsupial, I think.
A capybara?
What?
Huh?
Now you're just making stuff up, Mike. Really
now you're just
funny.
Now you're just inventing animals.
An animal died, Mike, at the zoo.
No, I'm not making light of it. I just want to know what kind of animal.
You're a real sick SOB.
All right.
I hope you go home and make a sandwich and cry into it because you are full of lies.
I guarantee you it'll have chips with it. Yeah. All right, that'll do it for
Mike
Four Down Territory.
Mike likes wet sandwiches anyhow.
I do like wet sandwiches. They are the best. Sandwiches that have had a chance to sit for a while are the best. All right, coming up next, Troy Rank joins us to tell us if this Rockies run is for real. That's next. Ah, here we go, Benny. I know he's not, as a millennial, he's not really probably aware of Grease.
Yeah.
Olivia Newton-John. Probably never saw the movie, especially the iconic where she shows up in the black leather outfit. Which I don't care what generation you're from. That's just.
Right. We gotta let this go until we get to the body talk part, though, by the way.
How did we bring up Olivia Newton-John? Because LaShawn McCoy saying that he's letting his body talk.
He's letting his body talk.
Yeah.
Which led me perfectly right to Olivia Newton-John, because that's how my brain works.
Right. All right, hold on. Troy Rank wants to hear this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Here it comes, baby. Let's get into physical. Let me hear your body talk. Body should be, that should be LaShawn McCoy's theme song.
Well, LaShawn McCoy's going to be my number one pick in my fantasy draft now just because of that. Troy Rank joins us now. Hello, Troy. I'm sure you enjoyed that.
That was one of the great cheesy videos of all time.
Wasn't it?
It was like a jazzercise video on MTV.
Yes!
It was so bad.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. It was great. It was awesome. Hey, speaking of jazzercise and all things wonderful, how about these Rockies, man? I mean, how real in your mind is this 4-1 start and what this bullpen is doing? I mean, I got to think that they're going to start to hit here at home, 13 of the next 16 games at home. Like, how legitimate are the Rockies in your mind?
Well, again, it's a small sample size, but in a 60-game season, 5 games does matter. I mean, it's times 3, essentially. So it matters. The reasons to believe in the Rockies are 2. 1, they just won on the road, which, you know, they've had more issues on the road than Clark Griswold over the last almost 30 years. So let's not discount them winning on the road at any time. It's easier earlier in the season than late, but before the altitude kind of puts its grip on the team. But the reality is they won on the road. Great road trip. And secondly, you just mentioned the pitching. If you pitch, the game gets a lot easier. Kyle Freeland and Daniel Bard are the best stories so far, but their bullpen in general. I mean, Yency Almonte, Diaz, Estevez. I mean, that's what we talked about before the year. That you got to give some of these guys who come out throwing a hundo a look, and they have a power pen now, especially with Bard in there. They did not have that. So there's reasons to be optimistic because of the stuff I've seen from the bullpen, and more specifically, you know, Kyle Freeland looks a lot different. He was throwing harder. The variance of speed was better. So, yeah, it's okay to be excited. Again, if you're the second team in the NL West, which might be a fight with the Padres, the team coming in tonight, if you finish second, you're in the playoffs. So, I mean, there's reasons to be optimistic.
Is your experience covering the Rockies for over a decade and a half that when they have a successful road trip and they're coming back for a stretch like this at home, 13 of their next 16 are at home, and it's not exactly a murderer's row of teams, has there been a tendency for this team, this offense, to relax and get a little complacent?
The problem they had with bigger homestands when they come back from the road was trying to do too much, because you go 1-6 on the road and you start doing the math and going, okay, we got to have a 5-2 homestand. We got to have a 6-1 homestand. And you just feel like you have to play perfectly. But guys love coming back to hit at Coors Field under any circumstance. I mean, the splits show it. It's still a great place to hit, even with the humidor. The place is big. It allows more hits. And, you know, allows more home runs. It plays much more fair than it did early in its inception. But they just would always press because road trips were so disastrous in many cases. Now you come back, you're 4-1, and you just start looking like, just win series, not, oh, we got to sweep teams. When you start talking in those terms in MLB, it's just hard because you run into good pitching on one of those nights in a 3 or 4 game set. But they're going to hit. They're going to hit. I've seen some, you know, I saw some much better swings in that A's game the other day. You've seen better base running. They played pretty clean baseball. I mean, they're just playing well. It's not really smoke and mirrors because they're pitching well, but although they almost always hit, it's you know, the pitching is problematic and trying to hold the other team down. And right now they're pitching well. So this is a time they should feel really confident. And we should feel like, hey, we have a chance here over these first 15, 16 games of the season to put ourselves in a great position.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Very excited about the Rockies. Also very excited about the Broncos. They're back at practice. What does it look like right now? We saw them, you know, throwing the ball around a little bit and all that kind of stuff. So this acclimation period, what should we expect here for the next couple of weeks until they can start? When do they start? August, is it August 17th where they actually put on some pads and start hitting each other? So what should we expect here, the run up to full pads in August 17th or 18th or whatever it is?
Yeah, I mean, they're doing everything in waves, and there's that four-day incubation period. So, you know, the rookies got tested, and now you've seen some of them clearly, you know, they're on the field now. And Jerry Jeudy, we saw K.J. Hambler. It's essentially combining OTAs, Mark, with training camp. So the first part of this process is, you know, acclimation period with conditioning, then smaller groups of lifting, and then, you know, you also integrate some on-field activity, not as a team. And you just kind of gradually bring the group back together until, you know, mid-August you can get into pads. You're limited to 14 padded practices. And those practices are going to matter. I mean, they're going to have to consider, in my opinion, using some of them to go ones versus ones to try to accelerate the development of the offense. Me personally, I mean, you want them to go twos, maybe obviously initially get confidence, but with no preseason games, they're going to have to tweak practice in a way to create competition and create kind of that intensity that you might see in a game. But it's the easiest way to say it. It's like they're blending OTAs and training camp. You know, get them lifting, get them running, check, make sure their health's right, get them onto the field with, you know, quarterbacks against air, quarterbacks against smaller, a little bit of groups. Then you do 7-on-7. Eventually you're going to see them in pads. And everything is just a build-up to get to the middle of August, and then they have got to take advantage of those padded practices to give their offense especially a chance to start on time.
Also this weekend, we see the return of the Nuggets and Avalanche. Where are your expectations for these two teams as to how far you think they can go in the playoffs?
Well, with the Avs, it's simple. They're the best team we've got, and I think they can win a cup. I'm predicting them to win a cup. I mean, I don't.
You're predicting them to win the cup this year?
Yes. I think they're good enough. They're young enough, they're dynamic enough, and they're healthy now. They were one of the best teams before the quarantine. And now they're healthy. You know, again, you know hockey better than I do, Mike. They're going to have to get hot defensively. But statistically, they are a team that can win a cup. They have as explosive an offense, and Nathan MacKinnon is as great a player on ice on many nights as that you're going to see in the country, that they can win it. Just defensively, you have to get hot, and your goalie's got to play well. And, you know, can they pull that off? What do you have to win, 5 series? I mean, it's not like anything we've really seen. It's been this March Madness feel to this. But I think I'm saying they're going to win it. I just feel like this is because of their health now, they have as good a chance as anybody. The Nuggets are I'm fascinated by the Nuggets. I just, you know, I watched the Clippers and Lakers last night. I don't see how they beat either one of those teams right now. I hope I'm wrong. But you have to have a second scorer consistently in the playoffs, someone that can step up. And can that be Jamal Murray this year? When he was good last year in the playoffs, they win. When he has an off game, they really struggled. And you know, you see with LeBron and Anthony Davis last night, you had Kawhi, and even Patrick Beverley played well for the Clippers, but they didn't have Lou Williams, and they still gave Lakers everything they could handle. So I'm intrigued by the Nuggets. The Avs, I'm saying win it. Go win it.
Yeah.
Go do something special because they're just that talented.
All right. Troy, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, guys. See
you. Troy Rank, presented by Tranny Law, appearing on the Fireball Hotline.
Speaking of
our baseball talk, by the way,
yeah.
Baseball is back in Denver tonight. Our home opener discussion today being brought to you by Budweiser, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. What were you going to say?
I was going to ask you when Lou Williams comes off of chicken wing probation.
He's in the chicken wing quarantine.
Yeah.
Boy.
It's a good place to be quarantined, if I was though, punished, right?
Delicious.
If I was punished for every time I ate chicken wings...
Lord have mercy.
I'd never get out. Man. I mean.
I thought about you yesterday.
You did?
Yeah.
What happened?
I was walking in, to Barnes & Noble.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Back up.
Yeah.
You walked into a bookstore yesterday?
Yeah, yeah.
You?
Yeah.
A bookstore?
Yes, yeah.
To buy a book?
No. No, not to buy a book.
Why did you go into a bookstore if you weren't looking to buy a book?
I bought some moleskin notebooks.
Oh.
I like to write.
Okay. You are a big notebook guy. You love to have
a
notebook handy.
Yeah. I love notebooks.
You love notebooks.
I really
do. We need our handy dandy notebook.
I am a
Blue's Clues.
I'm a handy dandy notebook guy.
You are.
So I'm prepping for the NFL season. So I'm doing some notebook work and some film study on on the teams that I'm going to start out with. So I went and got a couple of notebooks, and as I was walking in, there was somebody that had bedazzled jeans on.
Oh, stop it!
I'm not kidding.
Wear bedazzled jeans.
And the first thing I thought of, like, hey, look, is that Mike?
Now look, there was a time,
right,
in the 80s,
okay,
that I may have worn bedazzled jeans, but those were the 80s.
And I don't think they had bedazzled jeans. They had hash buckleback jeans.
Well, okay, maybe even early 90s.
Okay.
Okay? But look, those were my 20s. Okay? We should always be forgiven. Shouldn't we?
Yes.
Is it just me on this Is It Just Me Friday? Is it just me, or really, when we look back on our 20s, isn't that a free pass decade?
It should be.
Shouldn't it be?
Because I look back at some of the things I walked out of the house wearing.
Right.
When I was early in my career, and I look at my wife and go, how did you let me leave the house?
Yeah.
Looking like that.
I mean, all right, this is KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.